Testing, 1, 2, testing.
That's for you. And it's ready to go, let's make sure. It is ready to go.
It's on high volume.
Talk to you today, and I told you I wanted to go into people Wednesday night. I wanted to go through and I want to do some people of the Bible, but this person is not necessarily from the Bible. This person is a great missionary that was in a land that we don't really see as that person. and that's going to be St. Patrick. We have St. Patrick's Day coming up Friday. And so I told you I've been working on Job, and I was working on Job, and I got to thinking about St. Patrick's Day, and I said, let me see. I said, oh, you know, the only thing I know of St. Patrick's Day are leprechauns, beer, and all things Irish. That's the only thing I could think about. But St. Patrick's Day actually ended up being a celebration of life and death of Patrick of Bernaya, or Bernay, however you say that, and Ireland's acceptance of Christianity. So here we are thinking, and you know, you see all things green out there. You see all kinds of festive events. No matter what day of the week it was up north, every bar in town was going to be open. Every bar in town was going to be filled that night. And I said, this must be such a Satanist-type holiday that that's all they could think about is going out partying. Well, actually, St. Patrick's Day is on the fulfillment that one man had on a country. You know, since his father was a deacon and grandfather was a priest, Patrick had a very good religious upbringing. He knew who God was. You see, but when he was about 16, he was working out in his father's field, and an Irish militia came. They raided the land. You see, Patrick was kidnapped and carried off to be a slave in Ireland. Then he worked as a herdsman, remaining captive there for 6 years. During that time, he writes that his faith grew, and he prayed daily to save him from that. And after 6 years, he finally escaped by stowing away on a ship. He finally got away, traveling more than 200 miles, and finally, guess what? He returned home. Back to the land that he knew. Land that he was familiar with. And when he was old enough, he followed in his father's and grandfather's footsteps, eventually becoming a bishop in the church. You see, I told you he had that upbringing. That's all he really knew. And no matter what, even in that time when he was taken away, he didn't fault God for that. He still became a leader in the church. You see, later in his life, Patrick felt that he needed to become a missionary. He needed to go out and help one another. He needed to go out and do things for one another, share the love of Christ. He decided to go back to the land where he'd been a slave and share the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Back to the land that captured him, you see? No way, Sammy. This is what God told him to do. He accepted the challenge, if you will. So the latter part of the 5th century, just 400 years or so after the death of Christ, Patrick became instrumental in bringing Christianity to Ireland. You know, we hear about all kinds of missionaries, but not one that brought Christianity to a whole country. Others have tried to bring Christianity to Ireland, but the Irish people could not grasp the concept of the Trinity, of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because we know them all as one. To them it sounded like a polytheism or nonsense at worst. They didn't think that that was right. The people of Ireland could not accept that into their land. While other missionaries had struggled to explain the concept of the Trinity, Patrick relied on one little plant. One little flower, one little green leaf, if you will. We call it the shamrock or three-leaf clover. I just thought that was neat because every time I see a three-leaf clover, I think about St. Patrick's Day. But I didn't know what that meant. You see, the three-leaf clover explained that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three. You see, the Irish in Ireland, they knew that. That's what they could grasp. Each leaf is a separate and distinct, yet it made the whole. Each three-leaf clover had three leaves, but it was still a three-leaf clover. By making a simple comparison, countless Irish men and women were able to accept the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They understood what that meant now because they could relate it to something that they had. You know, I think about in our world today as we think about the Swamp Feast with Iron Men Outdoors, you know, how they went after the men that needed to be in church or needed to know about God, and that's the way they did it. I think about sports activities. We have the Fellowship of Christian Athletes that go out and they share the word with that group, and they get together and they pray together and stuff like that. But I think about, he was trying to think of something that really they knew about, something that really that they understood. And to them, it was a three-leaf clover. He also, the reason that we celebrate on March 17th, because that is actually when Patrick himself died. He died on March 17th. And also, it's the celebration of Christianity in Ireland. I didn't know that. I was taken away by actually what that meant. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. 7 and 10. As we think about what St. Patrick did, I want to give you these two verses here to start. Please stand with us as we read God's word. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. The Bible says, I say to you that likewise there will be no more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Skip down to 10 there. It says, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let us pray. As we think about what St. Patrick did in Ireland, there was many sinners over there that needed to know about you, God. There was many sinners that I know that you guys were dancing. All the angels and ladies were just dancing as people repented and come to know you. Lord, as I talk about today is what St. Patrick did. We're going to talk about sharing your faith with someone today. We're going to talk about going out into the land and sharing what you believe to your own people, not another country. Lord, I just pray today that you can strengthen each and every one of this congregation today. Yes. That they will gain the strength to do that, yes. To go out and share with someone. Because as we saw in the movie, Do You Believe? You never know whose life you will influence. As we go through this lesson today, I pray that you just open ears and open hearts that they may receive the word that you meant for them to hear. Lord, as we pray in your name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we talk about St. Patrick and the missionary work that he did, we are not all missionaries. I think certain people are put on this land in order to do that, to go into foreign lands, if you will. But our job as Christians is to share the word. So as we may not label ourselves missionaries, we are still. None of us will be likely to bring Christianity to a whole country like that, as St. Patrick did. He went back and didn't hold any grudges, and he went back to share the word of God. We must all know that our job at hand is to share the word just as he did. Share the love of Jesus Christ with the world around us. Show the love that he had. You see, before Jesus returned to heaven to be with his with God the Father, Jesus gave his disciples a very important message, and we talked about this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. And it says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's in Matthew 28. The mission was given to every follower of Jesus, not just the preachers or missionaries. It belongs to the church. Everybody, you ought to be a witness, sharing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to all those around you. Again, we never know whose life we will influence each and every day. Isn't it right, Parker and Montagus? Although we have the same faith in Jesus, we don't always share it. So I want to talk to you about three different ways. Each leaf of the shamrock, each one of the part as a whole. But with these three leaves, we share the faith in Jesus. Amen. By three different ways here, we're going to remember St. Patrick today. We're going to remember the great things that he actually did and shared and bringing the Word of God to Ireland. Bringing Christianity to a land that didn't know. We're going to start with the first. We're going to call the intellectual approach. St. Patrick was in a situation where he had to reason with the people of Ireland. He had to convince them that there was a God. And not that there was only one God, but that it exists in three different persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he said, what am I going to use but the three-leaf clover? That was something that they could use, that they could believe in. The shamrock was his real battle tool, if you will. That's what he went out there and shared the Word of God with. How many of us would think of something like that to use? You know, I talk a lot about the Ironman outdoors, but I think about it, the fact that, you know, the reason it started was because men were going out and they were going there guns, they were going out there fishing poles, they were going out and doing all these things, but they weren't going to church on Sunday. They weren't believing in what they needed to, so they brought the minister to them. I feel this to be a similar situation, as he knew the shamrock meant something to them. So therefore, that's how he described the three in one, the Holy Trinity. See, he had to discuss logical and empirical arguments for the existence of God because they were not going to understand if you didn't just break it down for them. A lot of times, Christianity for some people to understand just has to be broken down. We sometimes don't get it. Or I don't. Every time I read, I got to go back and maybe look at another version or some studies on it or whatever sometimes to understand exactly what is trying to be said there. There's nothing wrong if you don't understand. What I find wrong is that you don't try to find the answer. You see, the ones that make biblical arguments about the authenticity of the Bible are called apologetics. Literally means to make a defense or case for that. You have to explain what you believe from a factual standpoint. It is something we're called to do in 1 Peter. It says, always be ready to answer everyone who asks you to explain about the hope that you have, but answer in a gentle way and with respect. That's 1 Peter 3:15 to 16. Not only the intellectual approach, let's have the invitational approach. It's the simplest and easiest method. It's the one modeled by Philip in the Gospel of John. You see, Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him he had found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth?
Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. That's in John 1, 43-46. Philip doesn't argue with Nathan. He doesn't give a reason to fence as to why he believes in Jesus. He simply tells him, come and see. Come and see for yourself. That's what every one of us ought to do. You see, where you have the opportunity to talk with an unchurched friend or family worker, a family member or a co-worker, you tell them, I found Jesus. And why don't you come and see for yourself what it's doing for me? Why don't you come to church with me this Sunday? You see, all it takes sometimes is an invitation. It may be hard for you to explain. Bring on to someone who can explain it. According to the study by Lifeway Research, 82% of unchurched people say they're at least somewhat likely to come if someone would invite them. 82%. That's eight out of every 10 people that you ask to come to church, most likely will. But you got to be that someone that's going to ask them. Right. You see, if you love God and you love your church, then make that effort to invite your friends, relatives, neighbors to church with you. Let me give you some advice on inviting them to church. Don't say, "Hey, won't you come to church with me? I think it'd be an awesome job for you to. I think it'd be awesome for you to come to church with me." Because they may never turn that invitation down. Why? You know why? Because you hadn't given them a date. But if you tell them, "Hey, come on, go to church with me this Sunday," then you know that this Sunday is a date that they would have to stick to. You see, they may still be thinking 5-6 years down the road. They got that open invitation and they go to church.
That's right.
You hadn't given them a specific time. You hadn't given them a specific date. You see, that was too general. We need to get right to the point. People are dying every day.
That's right.
And you know what's harder for me than anything is to think about having to preach a funeral and I don't really know that person's future. That's something only you and God know.
Right.
I can only go by what the family tells me because that person is not here anymore. But think about it like this. Are you sure where your future is right now? You don't have to get in a religious debate about, you know, with people. Just invite them to church and see for yourselves.
Amen.
If you're not in this area or a person's not in this area, we have several friends that go to good churches. I'm not saying nothing about that. I don't believe churches are bad or anything. And, you know, if they can't come to this church, they're not local. Invite them to another church. Get them involved with somebody else. Say, hey, I've got this friend I'd like you to call and invite them to church or whatever because they live right near you. They live close by. They would probably go there. And do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Our God is bigger than Waffle Baptist Church.
Amen.
Although we would like to have all we can to come.
Amen.
We're not turning anybody down.
Right.
Invite them to know God first. You see, next we'll have the interpersonal approach. And approach here it simply means sharing your own story.
Yep.
Your own testimony of what God has done for you. Your own testimony of what you have gone through. You see, that's why at Celebrate Recovery, every other week they do a testimony. And so you see someone that's had problems. You see someone that has been less than perfect. You see someone that is just like you.
Yep.
You see, we're not all perfect. We might not all have the same issues. But we all have sin in our life.
Amen.
We all come from something. Everybody doesn't always come from good. And if you did, you might have ran. You might have went to church. You might be going to church all these years and never been saved.
Right.
There's many actors that get on TV and do all kinds of crazy mess. That's not really the person they are.
Right.
You see, your story of how you became one with Christ, how you became one with the Trinity, is exactly what Paul did in Acts. See, Paul was in the city of Jerusalem preaching about Jesus when some Jews from Asia served the whole crowd against him and had him arrested. Riots were breaking out, but Paul pleaded with the commanding officer to let him address the crowd. He announced when the crowd quieted, he said, "I am a Jew, thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers, and just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of Jesus to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison." This is what Paul's life was like before he met Jesus.
Amen.
I'm telling you today that St. Patrick brought a message to a land that needed God.
Amen.
I'm telling you today that we are no different than St. Patrick because our own land still needs God today.
Amen.
Our own land suffers. And the sad thing is, we have not been banned from teaching about him.
That's right.
We have people to tell us no. You've had people to tell you no before. Don't give up. Continue to do things for them. Continue to be a part of that person's life. Sick somebody else on them if you want to. Don't give up. Hey, I tried with this person. I couldn't get through them, but I know you've had this in your life, and I think you'd be a better person to talk to this person. Sometimes it could just be the person. Maybe you don't know how to talk to someone. It doesn't matter what your position is. We're not always going to listen to you. Maybe just somebody that can break it down easier. You see, he tells them how he met Jesus. He said, "I was on the road approaching Damascus about noon. A very bright light from heaven suddenly shone down around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'I am Jesus, the Nazarene, the one that you are persecuting.'" Woo! Guess what? I feel like we're persecuting every day that we see. Don't accept him into our heart. We don't do the things for him that he's done for us.
That's right.
Many of you might say that you believe a different way. That's fine. But he is not smiling at your sin or at our sin.
That's right.
We have to remember that we need him every single day. He explains the difference Jesus made in his life, saying, "I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea. And also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God."
Amen.
You see, St. Patrick went to a land, tell them. He didn't know how to tell them, but he knew how to show them. And then once he showed them through the shamrock, then they believe. There are ways that you can talk to someone. Mm-hmm. Brother Mickey, if they like mechanics, you probably could be the one to do that. Because I don't know nothing. I can't even hardly change the oil right. So I wouldn't do that with someone. I mean, I couldn't fit in like that. Jonathan, you might have some cop buddies that need to hear the word or need to hear some good thoughts, need to change something in their life. You see, you would be the one to better do that. We all have our place, is what I'm trying to tell you. We all live a different life. We all do things differently.
Amen.
If you want a nice car bench made, old Brother Greg can make that for you too. And somebody who wants that bench, and by the way, it looks good, he can share the word with him. He goes out with the car. You know, they have that drive-in, the car. to hear how Greg's life has changed. You see, Paul did that. Paul began telling people that I used to live this life, but now this is what I do.
Amen.
I do it for him.
Yes.
You see, Paul's testimony was his testimony, but you have one too.
Amen.
We all have something in our life. If we've become a believer of Jesus Christ, if we become a believer in God the Trinity, we all have that message.
Amen.
And it's not yours, it's not yours, it's not yours, it's mine. And then yours is not mine, it's not hers, it's yours.
Amen.
You can tell the three different points what my life was like before Jesus. How I came to faith and committed my life to Jesus. And third, the difference that Jesus has made in my life. You see, sharing your story, you may not be a Bible scholar, you may not be an apologist. You just have the authority over your own life. You knew what took place. You know where you are now. It's hard to argue with personal experience.
That's right.
Every story is different. But I hope the ending is the same.
Yes.
You see, personal stories, we can relate to. We understand. Some of us might have similar stories. But that effect that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had on you, it's going to be different than on St. Patrick, than on anybody in this church.
Amen.
You need to know your own story. Break it down into those three parts. It's an easy way to tell your testimony. It's an easy way to share it with someone. It's by individually and collectively sharing each leaf of our shamrock that we grow God's family, the church, and reach people that you thought could never be reached. All want to hear of God's love and His grace. I want to leave you with a verse here, actually two verses, in Psalms 128. It says, chapter 128, verse 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and that she shall be well with you." When you do what God wants you to do, you will be well with your soul.
Amen.
Let us pray. We just thank you. Oh, we just thank you for the word today. And how much the shamrock and the St. Patrick's Day, how many of us thought it to be such a satanic worship. Festivities that could do no good. But now we know the rest of the story. We know St. Patrick went out and the beginning of Christianity in a land of Ireland, into a country that they did not want to receive that. But yet he used an object, he used an idol to show them God the Father, the Son, and the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. And that we understand that your love and grace is meant for each and every one of us. I challenge each and every one of us today as we go out, as we go into the land of our own, that there are many people that still need God. Remember that 82% of the people that are not going to church would have come if they were only asked, "Will you give that invitation today?" As we pray, your name.
Let's sing it as well with your soul. I don't know what number that is.
705.
Turn in your hymnals to 705. It's not a time that you go out and just live your daily life as you did before. It's time to make a change. St. Patrick made a change in a land that he was captive in, that he was a slave in, but yet he still went. Guess what? We're a slave in our own land sometimes. We need to go out and break from those chains. We need to go out and share the word. We have several opportunities. Each of us do several different things. All kinds of jobs that are in here. But yet we all have that same opportunity. Let us stand and sing. 705.
Safe on the roads. Just be with us this coming week.